Well, Zeman Spear is back on the golf trail again this year, as we had a little bit of a break while I was traveling around. But we've made it back in studio here to Len Zeem Studios at PGA Village. It is nice to finally be back in studio together, so to speak, for the first time in 13 months.
Yes, it sure is. I tell you, it's we've been operating from 1,500 miles apart. It's a miracle that we keep putting these podcasts on, but they've been a lot of fun, and I hope our readers of our listeners have been enjoying them. It's a good project, and of course now we're doing it in the real heart of the golf season. It's a beautiful 75 degree day here.
For those of us who made it south and survived the 3 weeks of less than 25 degrees, it feels good to be down here and be playing some golf and talking about golf again. And, you know, we've had a big difference in Illinois and Florida golf. You know, it's a good thing up north we have places like the Mistwood Golf Dome on Route 53 in Bolingbrook, where they have the Top Tracer golf, and you can go in there and hit some balls, or you can go in there and get some lessons, get club fittings. Great news, McWethy's Sports Bar is back open again for indoor dining, and down here you've got the courses open, the ranges open, and you know, it's golf season, really outdoor golf season here in Florida.
Yeah, I tell you, right now is the heart of it. We have the PGA Tour is playing this week in the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill in Orlando. The LPGA is playing in Ocala. The Canadian Tour Qualifying School is also at Mission Inn in the Orlando area, Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is going to continue on for another couple weeks because we have the Players coming up, the Players Championship, and then a few weeks after that, we'll have the Valspar Championship at the old Innisbrook Resort. So Florida is in a hotbed right now, and there's even talk that the European Tour, as soon as the Masters is over, may be rescheduling three of their tournaments in Europe and bringing them to Florida. So this is where the action is at the moment, and I'm glad to have you accompanying me around the scene.
Well, we're getting a chance to see part of the state here and some of the golf properties, including Mission Inn for the first time over in Howie in the Hills, and got a chance to tour around El Campeón in between the players that were there for Q School for the PGA McKenzie Tour, the Canadian PGA Tour this summer. Saw a couple of our local guys, David Perkins, also Jordan Less from NIU, had a chance to catch up with him a little bit. He had a fellow teammate, Husky teammate, now an alum, I guess you could say, Paul Schlim, also on the bag this week. Jordan's rounds so far have been 75, 3 over par, and then a 1 under par, 71, moved him up the leaderboard, but he fell back a couple of spots yesterday with a 76. It's nice to see the PGA Golf Club here when I'm in your neck of the woods. And coming up in the week ahead, we're going to see Stream Song that's now being fully operated by Kemper Sports Management, and then over to Innisbrook, the home of the Valspar Championship. So getting a little bit of a golf tour around Florida, and it's just nice to hit the ball a little bit. Len, when you were talking about some of the tournaments, you were talking about the LPGA. And since we've last gotten together for a discussion, LPGA boss Michael Wan has stepped down and accepted the position vacated by the soon-to-be-retiring Mike Davis of the USGA. And Davis apparently prepared to stick around through the U.S. Opens this summer and then maybe ready to step down, and Michael Wan will be stepping in. So it'll be interesting to see how he adapts to that job, whether or not he can bring any of his style from the LPGA to the USGA. You got to believe it's going to be a boost for the women's championships that the USGA puts on, due to the fact that Juan's experience has been the LPGA. But I just wonder if the people at the USGA, perhaps when Juan gets up to have a press conference at the U.S. Senior Open in a couple years, over at Century World if they're going to let him do it with a cheese head on his head like he did for the announcement of the LPGA Tour event a few years ago up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, this is really a big development in golf. It's the way I see it right now, it's a huge loss for the LPGA because Mike Wann, I think, my personal feeling is that he may be the best commissioner in all of sports, not just golf. But it is a big, big boost for the USGA, although there are going to be some inevitable adjustment periods going on here because Mike's style is a bit different. It's very effective with the women, but it may be in contrast to previous leaders of the USGA. It's going to be fun to watch, and I think it's going to be a real positive for the USGA once all the transition is a smooth one, and we just move on from there. On the other hand, it's going to be interesting who is named Mike's replacement with the LPGA. That's a very important role in women's golf, maybe the most important role for administration in women's golf. So some exciting times ahead for two of America's biggest golf organizations.
Well, another American golf organization and or tour is the Korn Ferry Tour. And after a, we'll call it a winter break, the Korn Ferry Tour is getting ready to fire up again. And Lenny, we have some locals, including Nick Hardy and Vince India, who are trying to sort of graduate from that tour and move on to the PGA Tour. And it'll be interesting to see if they can keep stride the way they were playing before the winter break.
Yeah, this is a year where the Chicago players have really been in big numbers on that tour. Northwestern's Dylan Wu goes into the resumption of play here, in like Nick Hardy, in the top 25. I believe Brad Hopfinger is there as well from Lake Forest. You know, you make the top 25 at the end of this season, you automatically get a PGA Tour card for next season. And Vince India has always been a contender for quite a while for a PGA Tour card. I hope this is his year. Former Illinois Open and Illinois Amateur Champion. And, of course, Nick Hardy, very interesting to watch him. He had terrific success going through Monday qualifiers before the Korn Ferry Tour started its season a couple weeks ago. And he did very well, made the cut in two of them. And so Nick really is ready to play. It should be his year. I'm looking for great things from him the rest of the way in.
Well, getting back out again and playing right up the road from you here at the LPGA event last week, Annika Sorenstam sort of coming out of retirement, but things are changed. At the time she left, she wanted to start a family. She now has, I believe, two children. They're grown a little bit. And like some players, they talk about wanting to have their kids see them play. So at some point they understand a little bit about that. It took almost working through a controversial ruling to get her to stay for the weekend, but Annika played all 4 days.
You know, I think that the fact that she came back after not playing in a tournament in 13 years, and granted this tournament was at Lake Nona, which is her home club, still, the fact that she made the cut playing against these much, much younger players, I thought that was a terrific accomplishment and a very interesting story in golf. Annika's now committed herself to play in the U.S. Senior Women's Open. Kind of hope she will also be in the Senior LPGA Championship, which was going to be coming to French Lick again. But it's good to see Annika playing golf. Golf needs more Annika Sorenstams, especially on the women's side. But she, you know, she's played in PGA Tour events and done just fine. So that was a real exciting story in golf. In my book, it kind of overshadowed the men's tour for a few days there with Annika back in action.
Well, then the Illinois PGA and the Central Illinois PGA section announced some awards, but the main award is Professional of the Year, and it went to longtime Illinois PGA Pro, former Illinois PGA Section President out of Ruth Lake, Mark Labiak, one of the great guys and great pros in the section. And obviously, there was a list of other top professionals that won some awards. But you got to like this selection of Mark Labiak. He's done so much for the section in recent years.
Yeah, you know, he really came to bat because he brought one of the big tournaments, the Illinois Section Championship, over to his own club at Ruth Lake. That was kind of unexpected at the time, but he really came to bat. Mark is one of the really good people in Chicago golf. There's a lot of them, but I'm really happy for Mark that he got this honor.
Well, on one topic I wanted to touch on with you is it seems like more and more public courses are having members, even though they're a public golf course. And what do you think that means, especially with the demand for golf right now because of what's happened in the pandemic, to have your regular public golf course signing up members almost like they're a private country club?
You know, I tell you, this is a very question of semantics almost for me right now. There really isn't a private clubs. There are private clubs, but when you are opening them to public play, are they still private clubs anymore? I mean, it's just something to think about. I think it's healthy that more that Firestone was the one that really was the main example here, I think, out in Ohio. When they opened for public play, I thought that was a stunner, but a very good positive thing because golf's an all-inclusive game. I think it's good that if the private clubs at least give some times of play for public play. I don't see anything wrong with that. I think it's only going to grow the number of players. I think the private clubs they need business too. So it is a strange development in a way in the pandemic, where the pandemic has increased play nationwide. But this is just really probably taking it another step further. I think it's a good thing.
Well, Len, I know that some of the memberships at the public courses, you know, whatever that amount is, you know, some of the things that people have joked about for years that are great things in life, such as free beer or free golf or things like that. If you play your course often enough and you actually play enough rounds that covers that membership fee, at that point, it's paid for itself. And maybe by September or October, technically, you are playing free golf. And I think that's got to be a perk on getting a membership like this. And if you have some sort of a family plan where you're bringing your significant other, whether it's your wife, your husband, your kids, or whatever, and it's all paid for before you walk in the door, you know, that's a good thing for a family.
Well, no question it is. The key here, though, is that if you're going to get a club membership, use it. Don't just get one and don't take advantage of it. That's very important. I think that occasionally that does. I know it's happened to people I know that that things get in the way, other options kick in there for you to do take your time, and so then you say, oh, you know, I'm a member of this club, but I'm not playing there enough. You have to be committed to it. And that's a key to making it a happy relationship for both sides.
Well, Len, right as I was leaving town in Chicago, the news broke that Silver Lake Golf and Country Club in Orland Park was up for sale. And it appears that at least the early predictions are that the club is going to end up being, in essence, bulldozed for homes. It's had a long history. Of course, however, by the time of sale would go through, be finalized, you plan construction, you plan housing. It sounds like there's at least three more years of golf at Silver Lake, but Silver Lake Golf sounds like maybe by 2024 or 2025 is going to have gone away.
Yes, this is a shame because Silver Lake has been always, for decades and decades, with the Cockhill family there, been one of the most solid public courses in the whole Chicago area. You know, I can understand the family feeling, well, there's going to become a time where, you know, it's just time to move on. I think that's the approach they've taken to this, and I can understand them and only wish them the best. But it's still an awful lot of people got introduced to golf at Silver Lake or played there, enjoyed rounds there over a lot of years. And so you can't help but feel a little bit nostalgic and sad about its imminent. You're right. It probably three more years, but it does seem like it's headed for development and not be a golf course.
Well, we also understand that Calumet Country Club that has been sold will have golf this year, but it's going to be the final year of golf at Calumet. Lenny, you've been following the PGA Tour and some of our locals. I know you've caught up with Kevin Streelman this year. He's trying to grind his way into a top 50 world ranking to get in the Masters. The last tournament I saw him playing right before I left Chicago was Pebble Beach, and Kevin made a great run on Sunday, and he was suddenly on the first page of the leaderboard, only to have a approach shot fly the 16th green and end up making double bogey and falling back a little bit. But he's grinding away out there, and I think he's hoping to put himself in contention to be in the Masters. And who knows, if he plays well this summer, Steve Stricker might have some give him something to think about for that Ryder Cup team.
Well, Steve Stricker, first of all, Steve Stricker as a player has been really a surprise. You know, he's an older player, but showing once again that he's really competitive with the regular PGA Tour guys. As for Kevin, you know, he's had his chances, and he's not quite got that good finish that he needs to get into the top 50. He's in the lower, almost there. He's a few spots back. And he's not playing this. He's taken last week and this week off. I'm sure we'll see him at the Players. He's got a couple tournaments there where he can, if he can get a real good finish, he needs a real good finish to make that climb into the Masters. I really hope he gets it, because he's been such a good person and such a model professional on the tournament policy board. You know, he's been doing a lot of good things for golf all the way around, and I hope that he gets that one big finish and makes it. I think that's all he'll need is one real good one, and he'll be in Augusta, and that'd be a great thing.
Yeah, I know he's a well-loved member of the Wilson Golf family. Tim Clark, the president over there, speaks highly of him. He's the kind of people that we like have representing Chicago-based Wilson Golf. In addition, Len, there is some new golf happening in different ways around the country. Now we've learned that not only in Florida, apparently the Fort Myers area, but Colorado, out near Colorado Springs, and in the suburbs of Los Angeles, Top Golf is opening about three or four new venues this year. And Top Golf continues to expand, and a lot of people getting introduced to not only Top Golf style, but maybe a little bit about the actual game itself that hopefully they might play down the road as well.
Yeah, right. I tell you, that I'm taking that one kind of personally, because we could really use a Top Golf facility here on some land that is once housed the a learning center here at PGA Golf Club. PGA Golf Club has had, it's a good travel destination, but it could use a Top Golf to fill out this the thing. They had a really a good learning center, performance center, but times have changed, and Top Golf is a big part of that change. We could certainly use one here in Port St. Lucie.
Well, and some of the equipment companies recently got some awards from the Golf Digest publication, the Hot List, and a couple of our local companies were right in the middle of that. Tour Edge standing out. Of course, they've launched a couple different lines here in the last several months, but also Bettinardi with their Tinley Park-based Bettinardi putters swept all of their different putter designs, ended up with gold medals. And I think that's a good thing for Chicago companies, because some years back, these companies were kind of looked over a little bit, whether it be Wilson, whether it be Tour Edge, whether it was Bettinardi. They were thought of as second tier, maybe, to the Titleist, the Callaways, the TaylorMades, the Pings of the world. It doesn't look like they have to do that too much anymore.
Well, Tour Edge, I tell you, is amazing right now. Tour Edge has done so many exciting things. I mean, just in the last few weeks, they signed Bernhard Langer, one of the premier players in all of golf. Last week, one of their players, Tim Petrovic, made two holes in one in the same tournament, and that hadn't been done in years by anybody. You know, their clubs are being used. That was an interesting statistic regarding Tour Edge. If counting 14 different players on the senior tour have some Tour Edge clubs in their bag, which is, if you know, their fields are usually about 80 some players. So they've had as many as 17% of an entire field is carrying something, some kind of club from this Chicago company that really isn't all that big. It's been around for a long time, but people have discovered just how great the clubs are that they make. So hats off to Tour Edge. I mean, they've just been having a great few years.
Well, Len, another Chicago-based company, Willowbrook-based club champion that has been the largest facility fitting place, has opened up a few more stores, one in Des Moines, Iowa, one out west, one out east, and also they're announcing one of their new ambassadors, Lexi Thompson, off the LPGA, is sort of joining the company there, and that's another Chicago golf company that continues to put its footprint out there on a national basis.
Yeah, Lexi's got club champion out of her golf bag now, on the LPGA tour, and she may be the most, for America Player, she may be the most popular of that group, so she's going to help club champion really a lot, I think. A good move. Club champion has been growing, and it certainly can't hurt to have a player of that stature carrying the banner.
Well, and just as I was leaving town, the word came out. We have another massive golf course renovation getting ready to get underway this year. The Abbey Springs Golf Course up in the Fontana, Lake Geneva area is going to see a $2.5 million renovation, and Bob Lohman and his partner Todd Quitno are going to oversee that. Of course, recently we saw Todd Quitno do the great renovation work at the Schomburg Golf Club, and prior to that, they did the White Eagle Golf Club, which hosted the Illinois Open last year. So this is a club going into its 50th anniversary, Abbey Springs, and realistically, their head golf professional said that nothing major had been done the course since it was opened in 1971 after the original architects Dick Nugent and Ken Killian designed the golf course, and they said it'll be a real shot in the arm, and they expect it to go back to being the destination golf course in Wisconsin once was.
Well, Wisconsin is amazing too, with all the developments in golf there. Perhaps no state has kept up with Wisconsin, I don't think. Abbey Springs almost, it's a very nostalgic course, a nice place to be, a great place to hang out. For the golf there, they were due for some work to be done there, and I think that just adds to all the golf boost that they have in Wisconsin. The Cheeseheads are lucky people. The golf is growing faster there all over the place, and this year they have the Ryder Cup coming to Whistling Straits, and that's certainly not gonna hurt their image as a golf destination at all.
Well, Len, one of the first stops on my road trip was to get down in the Pinehurst Southern Pines area, and I spent the first couple days over at Talamore Mid-South Resort, and I'll tell you what, if there's ever a facility that's got great villas to stay in, it's those two properties that are about a quarter mile down the road from each other on opposite sides of the street. But it was nice to see the improvements over at Talamore. They've built a really nice new halfway house right between the range and the 10th tee as you come off at number 9. In addition, the entire inside of the clubhouse was redone, and the brand new bar, grill, 19th hole area really looks great. And those two golf courses are, I hate to overuse the word hidden gems, but when you go to Pinehurst at first, you don't always think of those golf courses. But once you get out and play them, the first thought that comes to mind is, you know, how come we haven't been here before? How come more people don't know about this? Because they're two really nice facilities.
Well, I tell you, I was at Mid-South. Well, I played both those courses, but stayed at Mid-South in late June. I mean, the pandemic was still on, but they Pinehurst was ready for it. And The lodging there at Mid-South is now, it's one of the best I've seen anywhere in the country. They've done some amazing building there, and Pinehurst itself is on the upswing with the USGA moving there and the Kids Golf Foundation moving there. I mean, it's that town is going to have to, I'm sure its population is going to swell with all the things going on there.
Well, there's a brand new subdivision getting built right next to the entrance to Talamore on some of their land. Len, we'll have another edition coming up from the Len Zeem Studios. And then, of course, later in the week, we'll have some special editions of Zeem and Spears recorded over at the Innisbrook Resort in Palm Harbor, Florida, home of the Valspar Championship. Lenny, it'll be a fun week.
Well, can't wait.